Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call of Sundrop Brands Limited Investor Meeting. We have with us on call today Mr. Nitish Bajaj, Group Managing Director, Mr. Ashish Kumar Sharma, CEO and Executive Director, Mr. Manish Mehta, Director, Mr. K.P.N. Srinivas, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Please note this call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitish Bajaj, Group Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning all, and thank you so much for attending this investor presentation for Sundrop Brands Limited. I'll begin by, one, of course, you have heard the team which is around us. I'll just share my presentation, and if you could just confirm if the screen is visible, and then I'll start. Yeah? Visible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning all. So you're already familiar with the vision and mission of the company. We have embarked on a new journey for Sundrop Brands Limited, and in this pursuit of our becoming a very large food organization, we stand committed to bring joyful food experiences to the modern consumer. Our mission, of course, stays around creating innovative solutions, giving tastier products, and also which are more convenient on-the-go solutions for our consumers. You are familiar that we have done a renaming of our company, Agrotech Foods, as Sundrop Brand. That renaming is now in place. We already have the approval of the new brand name for the organization. We did this change because this resonates, one, very well with the historic equity which Sundrop as a brand had, and this is where the company found its creation. And also, we are elevating through this route one of our big brands to the role of a corporate brand. A quick journey, and I will not spend too much time here. I'll just focus on what happened in the last two odd years. So in 2024, you are familiar that we had a new set of shareholders. CAGTech came in 2024. We also did the renaming of the brand. We did the recasting of the vision and mission for the organization. In February 25, we also completed the acquisition of Del Monte Foods Limited by taking 100% stake of this organization. So to all the investors who are present here, I'm very happy to inform that we have completed this acquisition on 6th February 25. Del Monte Foods is now a fully owned subsidiary of Sundrop Brands. Of course, as a part of this transaction, 35.4% stake was issued to Bharti Group, which who got about 21% share, and Del Monte Pacific Limited, which got about 14% shareholding of the organization. CAGTech remains the largest investor with 34% shareholding. Now, this is what we today have. Now, with this acquisition, we have a big scaled platform. And I'm very excited because this platform presents a strong and significant profitable growth opportunity for the organization. First, of course, if you look at the portfolio of brands and offerings we have, we are present in very high growth, high margin categories. And that gives me very good confidence about the journey ahead. Also, I'm enthused by the initial set of investments we have taken on these brands because we are seeing good results as we have embarked on this journey in the last few months, and I'll talk more about it. What is also important about this portfolio is that we have a mix of healthy leader brands like Active Popcorn, which enjoys a virtual 90% plus market share. We also have a lot of challenger brands, which present a significant headroom for growth because we have a play of gaining share and building the brands to become much larger than where we stand today. As a part of our investment thesis, we are looking to enhance investments. That journey has already started. We are investing much more in the last few months on the brands, which is resulting in good results in the last few months. We are also seeing increasing traction of our brands in fast-growing channels. We are aware that Indian ecosystem is seeing transition with emergence of e-commerce, modern trades are also expanding. General trade is also metamorphosizing in some places to standalone modern trade kind of concept. What we are observing is as we embark on this journey, our growth in these evolving channels like e-commerce, like standalone modern trade is accelerating, and that also gives us the confidence that the channels which will grow faster, we do have an increasing salience and a greater opportunity for growth. Of course, in this journey of ours, our focus will stay on improving EBITDA, making sure we do profitable growth as a thesis and also improve our PAT margins. One more shift which I will talk about is in our journey ahead, we will follow a capital efficient approach to building scale. In the past, we have made significant capacity investments in building our own capability. Today, we already have a significant capacity headroom, but also wherever we'll enter new, we will find ways to make sure that our approach or entry is capital efficient in those categories. Last, of course, but more importantly, while we stay committed to organic growth, this food platform also allows us to look at opportunities in the ecosystem to add bolt-ons to this business, which are synergistic to our portfolio, and hence use an inorganic route to drive further growth of this platform. This is where we stand today as a combined platform. So we have three very, very large and familiar, highly trusted consumer brands in this play. Out of these three brands, Acto and Del Monte, we have a perpetual license for Greater India geography. And for Sundrop brand, we of course have a license across the globe. So these three brands are what really are going to drive our journey as a scale platform in the pursuit of growth ahead. This is how the portfolio stacks up. And this is important for all of us to see because we do have a very diverse portfolio. And as I talked about, some of the portfolio has a very strong leadership position, like in popcorns, but there are also a lot of opportunities for growth in this portfolio, like we can expand our ready-to-eat platform through extension into more snacking formats, both on the go and also in the home kind of formats, like snacks like nachos, breakfast cereals, and fruit drinks. Through Del Monte acquisition, of course, we have got additional significant portfolio in on the plate and in the home consumption segment. And hence, what we see is two key categories have come in. One is the culinary area, where people are looking to add taste and variety to their food options. And that's where our ketchups and mayos, and also historically for Agrotech brands or Sundrop Foods, the peanut butter stood at. We also have a strong Italian range through Del Monte brand, and that's very core to our growth, and that's what is also now available to this platform. I'll also briefly talk about oils as a business. Historically, we have looked at oil as a mainstay portfolio, which allows us distribution strength, but haven't been really investing on this portfolio. In our journey ahead, we are looking at edibles oils as a more sustenance portfolio. So there will be some shifts in our investment thinking behind oils, but we would want to sustain this portfolio and make sure that it grows and it does not really lose platform, lose, let's say, the consumer base while we go for accelerated growth for rest of the portfolio. What this portfolio allows us is, of course, to ride on all the consumer megatrends. So whether we talk about convenience, healthier options, globalized or Western trades, I talked about the shift towards organized platforms like modern trade and e-commerce, premiumization opportunities, experiences, on-the-go consumption, and of course the riding protein consumptions. Most of these mega consumer trends which we are seeing are driving the growth of the food industry. Our portfolio allows us to ride on this. In addition to riding on this, we'll also as an organization stay mindful and focused on sustainability and concern for the environment. What we also get through this portfolio and which gives me a great confidence on this journey ahead is a very, very extensive distribution network and also a very well distributed and diversified pan-India manufacturing portfolio. And both of these are very important for the business distribution because as a platform, many of our brands have a significant opportunity to grow in the larger general trade universe. And that's where Sundrop brand's historical strength of covering about 500,000 plus retail outlet comes in. As a combined entity, today we have about 1,800 distributors. We have 1,700 sales personnel. So we have the infrastructure in place to be able to drive our portfolio to much more larger distribution coverage across the portfolio, which may today be, let's say, enjoyed by select portfolios. We do have opportunity to take the Del Monte portfolio in specific and expand the distribution reach significantly. Similarly, on the manufacturing footprint, if you look at, we have north, east, west, south, all the four geographies of the country very well represented through a manufacturing network. In our business, this is critical because we do have a very large snacks business, and that snack business does ride on proximity to the consumer in a big way, both in terms of efficient cost of distribution and also in terms of freshness of the products. So by leveraging a very well-distributed network of the combined entity, today we see an opportunity to also expand our snack portfolio significantly and making sure that it becomes more and more efficient as we move along. This is how our entire channel mix is. Now, if you look at in our entire channel mix, I would say we are one of the most well-distributed, well-represented mix in terms of all the channels which we cover. So today, as a combined entity, we have about half of our business sitting between traditional trade of organized and non-organized retail environment. So 53% of our business is between traditional retail outlets and also in modern trade or organized modern trade. We also, through Del Monte, get a very sizable representation in the food services market. And this is critical because that's another area from where consumers will get experiences of our products. And within Sundrop Brands' historical portfolio, we have a significant opportunity to ride on this network of Del Monte business and drive a growth. So while Del Monte will ride on the traditional trade network of Sundrop Brands, Sundrop Brands can ride on the food services network of the Del Monte portfolio. On the new channel like e-commerce, as I said earlier, it's an emerging channel. We are, of course, growing ahead of the industry now, growing at 36% last year. We have accelerated the growth even more in the last quarter. But as an outcome, what you see is there's our saliency of business in this emerging channel is increasing, and there is still a significant headroom to growth. Food services business, where, let's say, the B2B business of Del Monte sits up, it is also growing at a great 8% kind of CAGRs, and that also allows us a springboard for getting more of Sundrop brand portfolio and drive the growth of the business. This is how our core categories is. And to the team, I must call out that when I talk about core categories, I haven't included oils as a platform. Oils still sits in others, which I said will be going to be a sustenance portfolio. But core categories is where we are going to invest in a big way. And that's where we are in the last 2 years journey and also more recent journeys as we have got on board. We are seeing significant traction. And as we see, our saliency of core categories where we are investing is growing significantly over the last 2 years. This is how our growth trajectory for last year is. So if you look at in most of our core categories, we are growing between 4 to 30% growth rate in the full year. There are, of course, some areas where we need to do better. And as a management, we are one, of course, cognizant of it. We understand where are we losing traction. And we already have plans ongoing and put in place to drive the recovery of these businesses. Let's say the business of peanut butters and our Italian range of Del Monte. This is a more recent representation, and I did talk about us taking a call of increasing investments. So if you look at with our increase in investments on brand building, on consumer acquisition, in quarter four, we have already seen accelerated growth in many categories, and our growth trajectory has strengthened significantly if I look at in Sundrop Brands portfolio. We also have taken with the completion of acquisition of Del Monte business in Feb 25, we have rolled out investments on that portfolio also, and I'm very confident that with these investments coming in, we will see an accelerated growth coming in these categories as well. This is how the whole picture of our, if I look at our Sundrop Brands portfolio before the acquisition, has grown at about 5% in FY25, but in quarter four, we have seen the growth accelerating to 12%. Del Monte portfolio, if I include that, our business of growth overall has accelerated from 8% full year to about 9% in quarter four. This is what we are doing on the marketing side team. So we could look at, we are investing significantly both on traditional mass media and digital media. And this investment increase has gone behind or directed on specific core categories I talked about. And we are seeing results on these categories as you would have seen earlier. We are also strengthening our distribution and visibility in general trade. We are also looking at cross-utilization of network strength. So there are planned efforts to ride on the distribution strength of each organization, leveraging Del Monte portfolio of ketchups and culinaries for the traditional trade of Agrotech or Sandra, and similarly leveraging the food services portfolio of Del Monte for brands like nachos, pasta sauces, nachos and popcorns for Sandra brands. We are investing significantly on emerging channels. We are investing in modern trade in the form of increased investments on merchandising, promoters. We are expanding the listing of our ranges. We are investing on performance marketing in e-commerce, which is also giving us good results as I speak. This is an important slide, all of us. We are looking, as we go along in this journey, we are looking to have a very capital efficient approach to building scale. So in the past journey for Sundrop brands, we have invested significantly on capacity, both in core categories and also in some of our new category entries. We now have an experience of last 3-4 years, and of course, we also now have the full platform, which allows us to rethink. So I think as I have come on board about 4-5 months back, we have also been looking and evaluating our portfolio with a very, very great degree of rigor, to say where we have seen good results in the past, where with our investments and position in the market as we stand today, we have an ability to accelerate growth and drive growth. With that, if I look at as a route, we have identified the core categories. And I must say that for all of these core categories which we have identified, we today have a significant headroom within the existing capacities of the organization for our future growth, because most of these categories are operating between 40 to 70% utilization. So while we do have a lowest capex outflow in the last year, we do expect this trend to continue. So from here on, at least in the near future of next 3 odd years, we would expect our ability to maintain capex at more at the back end of, let's say, packaging lines at best, or for repair and maintenance of our existing capexes. We have also taken a very, very sharp look at our current asset base. So for me, it is important, as I embark on this journey, I have joined here. We did identify some portfolios where we had entered in, but we have not seen the traction. Now, we could keep pushing our boundary there further, but these are coming at the cost of, one, focus of the organization. Second, our current traction is very limited. So we are taking a call to get out of certain categories where in the past investment cycles, we have not seen sufficiently strong results or business case for us to sustain and continue. So as an outcome of this rethink in strategy, which I think is very important, because we today have, with the food platform which I talked about, we today have a very large portfolio where we need to invest. We think it's very prudent for us as a business team to prioritize our energy on those core categories, and at the same time, take a call on the portfolio of lines or investments where we are not seeing the joy or returns in a big way. So we are impairing certain capacities and manufacturing lines. We would take a liquidation of these lines as we go ahead, but as a management, we have already taken an impairment call, and we have taken a fair value of these assets which we are liquidating. Based on this reprioritization of the capacity, we would have a one-time impairment hit of about 136 crores on our asset base. But if I look at what does this asset base really contribute to, the specific lines like chocolate lines and wafer lines and etc., they contribute only to about 12 crore of revenue, and they are negative on profitability. So as the going concern, I do not see any of these impairment calls impacting future business direction of the organization in any which way. It just gives us a very clean slate and management a very clear direction on where we want to invest to grow, and we think it's a very prudent call to make sure we have an asset base sitting in our books, which is efficient, which is driving the growth of the organization. What you would also see is, as an outcome of this decision which we have taken, our asset base, which is going to be sustained, has a very strong asset turnover ratio of 4x. And yet I talked about there is a significant headroom for growth in this business. I would also briefly touch about that with the addition of Del Monte's business, we also have addition of the tangible assets of Del Monte manufacturing base. So that is adding another 204 crore to our asset base. So with the impairment and with the addition of Del Monte's asset base, our net tangible asset position will be 403 crores. All of ladies and gentlemen, this is the P&L statement of the organization. I think you would have already got this to see. As I talked about, we are seeing growth in our focus categories. You can see in quarter four specifically, we have grown well. There are some one-time calls sitting in around acquisition, around the way we have recognized, let's say, the past write-offs of any. There is some recasting of the way we recognize non-moving or dead stocks, let's say, in the organization. Those are one-time calls. And of course, there is an impairment call, which is impacting our either EBITDA or profit before tax, but we do not see them sustaining in the future. With the addition of Del Monte in quarter four, if I look at consolidated P&L, we are adding about 10 crore turnover in 2 months of recognition because Del Monte got.
104.
Acquired Del Monte acquisition got completed in February. So for February and March, 2 months of recognition of revenue of 104 crores is sitting in our consolidated revenue recognition. This is how I look at the total business. So if you look at with the acquisition of Del Monte, we are now a 1,410 crore top-line organization, and that's how you should look at our financials. Today, if I look at one-off calls out of business, we today have an EBITDA of about 54 crores, which is a low single digit. But we did talk about our management assessment of this business. We do see significant headroom for growth in our core categories. We are investing on those businesses. We do see a lot of synergies sitting between the two platforms, and all of them will be gradually unlocked for us to drive the journey for a profitable growth ahead. This is how our balance sheet and cash flow. I won't spend too much time, but what is important here, team, is we do have a net positive cash situation. We are a zero-debt company. We today have a closing cash of about 47 crore, and hence we do have a significant ability to keep investing and growing business as we move along. So if I have to sum up for all of us, very clearly, a very, very strong platform. Personally, on this journey, I'm very excited, very enthused with the investment calls we have taken in the recent past that this business can be built into a very large food platform where we give to our consumers very, very strong leadership, strong brands and offerings to be able to ride on and deliver on their taste aspirations from our product. We do see our portfolio sitting on all consumer mega trends, which we talked about, and hence be very ripe or set for growth in the journey ahead. Our business is sitting between high margin, high growth categories, and of course, we do have and we will continue to look at opportunities beyond organic growth. We would invest for organic growth, but we would also be open to look at how we can bolt on to this portfolio to expand and take a synergistic approach to make the business stronger and more profitable. Investments, I have talked about it. We will invest on the core portfolio, both in media and in the emerging channels to drive accelerated growth. Our approach going forward will be to ensure that we are capital efficient in our thinking, and clearly we do have also capacity headrooms in our business, both in terms of distribution strength, where we do have a large field force, and similarly in manufacturing strengths, where we have a fairly well distributed setup with sufficient capacity available to be able to drive the growth. And of course, we do have a very strong management and a very competent team here who is looking at this journey to make sure that we keep growing much more profitability and create sufficient and strong value for all our stakeholders. Thank you so much, and really excited about this journey ahead for Sunrock Brands. Yeah. Moderator, back to team for any questions and answers. And I think also if you could introduce Harsha, who has joined in.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on call with us today Mr. Harsha Raghavan, Director. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please click on the Ask a Question tab, or you can type in your questions in the text box provided. Before asking the question to the management, please introduce yourself, providing your name and your organization name. If possible, you may switch on your video as well. Please limit yourself to a maximum of 2 questions so we can accommodate as many as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Percy Pantaki. May I request you to accept the prompt on your screen and go ahead with your question, please. Mr. Percy, may I request?
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to understand your medium-term margin trajectory. You are currently at 3.5-4% kind of margins. How do we see these margins evolving over a 3-4 year period? And what would be the drivers for that margin expansion? Would it be on the gross margin level? Is it just operating leverage, or is it ad spend leverage? How can you give some idea on this, please?
Yeah, hi. Thank you, Percy, for the question. Overall, I did talk about that we would want to grow our business on scale, right? So we are going to invest for growth of top line. Most of this growth in top line, because we have sufficient capacities available, will actually help us improve the scale of our business and make sure that our manufacturing keeps becoming more efficient. So you would see gross margin expansion with the fact that we are going to become more and more efficient with the expanding scale, leveraging the existing capex base. We are also, of course, going to drive growth harder in the existing categories where we have focus, and these are more profitable categories within the mix. So we also do envisage that with the mix of profitable businesses being driven harder, we should be able to accelerate growth. We also see between the two organizations a significant synergistic benefits around the cost structures, around the growth opportunities in terms of network and channel, and let's say in procurement efficiencies, in manufacturing efficiencies, which will be leveraged. So our direction, if you look at our scale of business today, is about 1400 odd crores. At this scale of business, we do expect companies to get to a closer to double-digit EBITDAs or in that direction. So as a management, over the horizon of next 3 to 5 years, we would want to really go towards that direction and scale up business more and drive for greater profitability.
So just a follow-up here, sir. Would it be a linear journey in terms of margin expansion, or because of whatever reasons, investment or whatever you think the margin expansion is likely to be more back-ended?
No, it will be progressive journey the way we see it. So you could say directionally it will be more linear. We of course over next 1 to 2 years we would keep investing to learn, but if you are to talk of a direction of 3 to 5 years, it will be more linear.
Got it, got it. Secondly, just wanted to understand your top line growth drivers as well. So, I mean, obviously there are the usual suspects. There is marketing, there is distribution, and so on. But like, where do you see each of these drivers fulfilling their role in the sense that which of these drivers is going to be the dominant one and which is going to be a supporting one and so on?
So I would say there are three key drivers for our business. One, of course, investments. If you look at historically, the investment focus of the business was behind new additions, especially in Sundrop business. There were plans to grow certain new entries, which for whatever reasons haven't taken off in the way management had envisaged. But that focus had also reduced or restricted the ability to invest behind the core. We are very purposefully driving the core of the business, and in the initial experience of last 5 to 6 months, we have seen the joy of that investment coming in our business. So that's going to be one key driver. Invest on the core categories, accelerate the growth. Intrinsically, we know that food segment is showing very strong signs of recovery. We are seeing in the second half of last year, there is a recovery or resurgence in the food industry or FMCG segment, especially from rural, and we are also seeing signs of growth coming back in urban. So that's on the backdrop of, let's say, investment on core categories and the environment which is suited for growth, we do see one key lever sitting there. Second, if you look at leveraging the network strength of the platform, and I did mention in my presentation earlier, we do have strengths in network which are complementary in nature. We today, let's say, if you look at Del Monte's business, it's a very food services and modern trade and e-commerce centric business. But if you look at the platform, which is ketchups and sauces, mayo, and even emerging formats like olive oils and pastas, we know there is an increasing preference of consumers across the segment for these products. And hence, as we leverage the network, across network of two organizations, there is a ability to accelerate the growth opportunity by making sure that our products are more accessible, more widely available. So I gave you an example of Del Monte portfolio. Similarly, if I look at the portfolio of Agrotech, how do we expand our popcorn business in B2B industry or in the food services area? How do we expand nachos business there? All of those possibilities exist for us to be able to drive the growth riding on the network complementarity. Third, if I look at as a overall investments, we do see within the existing portfolios, some of the portfolios which have not responded because we did not keep pace on innovation. So as we move along in the journey, you will also see innovation coming in a big way in our portfolio, looking at how do we expand our peanut butter business into protein-based segments. Similarly, through our snacking business, there are significant headrooms for growth by getting into associated and contiguous categories, both in terms of flavor taste expansion or in terms of pack sizes and format expansions. So you will see behind core brands, innovations also coming in, which drives the growth.
Very useful, sir. Just one request at the end. You have shared the sales contribution of the focus and other businesses. If you can also share the margin or EBITDA contribution of these two businesses, it will be helpful for us to evaluate the company.
Yeah, so we don't share individual category margins, but you do see our food business, which is higher margin. We do share at least in that direction how we are doing on more, let's say, blended basis, not on an individual category basis.
Yes, sir. My request was not for individual. It was just the two blocks of focus and others. That was my request. You can consider it later on. I mean, just suggestion from my side.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, if you would like to ask a question, please click on the Ask Question tab, or you can type in your questions in the text box provided. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rohit. May I request you to accept the prompt on your screen and go ahead with your question, please?
Thank you for the opportunity, and this was a very nice and helpful. Am I?
Yeah, you are audible, Rohit.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, and this was a very nice presentation. It did give us a very nice idea of how you're thinking of the business over the next 3 to 5 years. My first question is on the acquisition. So we did mention that we are using this as a platform and open to doing acquisition. So do you have an idea or do you have a strategy on what the size says you would be okay with and averse to? Will it be similar to Del Monte, or are we looking for only more bolt-on acquisitions?
Yeah, Harsha, Manish, would you want to answer that? I can also step in, but if you would want to, yeah.
Yeah, so,
go ahead, Manish.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, I mean, from acquisition point of view, I think what we are very careful about is that it should fit into our core mission and vision that we talked about. We understand, you know, we are more particular about the margin profile of the business and the scalability of the business that we acquire. How that fits in, as I mentioned, into our overall portfolio. So size is less of a consideration. We might go for smaller businesses if the right opportunity presents itself. And if there is a great opportunity on the larger size, we'll be open to evaluate it. So there is nothing that is imminent or, you know, that is very obvious as of now. But we don't want to restrict ourselves to any size consideration. We are more concerned about the fitment and the margin profile, the scalability of that.
And maybe if I can add one thing, Harsha Raghavan here. As Nitish had pointed out in his slides and commentary, and also in his response to Mr. Pantaki, we have plenty of work to be done and plenty of opportunity with respect to the integration and the opportunities of just Sundrop and Del Monte. So in terms of management's focus and priorities, for now, I'd say it's on what we already have in our plate. That having been said, this is clearly a company that's well-positioned over the longer term towards becoming an acquisition vehicle. And opportunistically, as and when something presents itself of any size and scale, frankly, we will be at least willing to evaluate.
And I'll just add one thing, you know, like we also have the opportunity to in-license more brands from other organizations that I talked about, especially Fonagra and all. So that's also in the back of our minds, you know, when the right time comes, it's not only acquiring new companies, it's also about maybe bringing in more products if that's the right way to go. So there are multiple options available, but the focus right now, as Harsha and Nitish said, is to build on what we already have. And later on, we'll look at some of these opportunities.
Yeah, also to add to Manish's point, within also Del Monte and Conagra's active brand, we do have rights of refusal and opportunities to take on their global portfolios. And if any of them sees opportunity in the country, we also have access to those possibilities to be licensed and sold in the country.
This is very helpful. Just one follow-up to this. So, I am a recent investor, and my incentive was because the new promoters took over and the aggression that was lacking in the company is quite visible, and the increased focus you're bringing is also very nice to see. So just to follow up on the acquisition, so if you are looking at acquisitions in reasonable size ones, we are not averse to it. Does that mean that we are not averse to diluting more, and with our shareholding right now being 34-35, so how comfortable, I mean, how low is comfortable enough for us, or anything along those lines right now, or is this too much, too far into the future for now?
I think it's too far. There's nothing nothing imminent. I think right now we're just absorbing what we already have. As you can imagine, we all as shareholders are very particular about making sure that it is value accretive to all of us. So any decision obviously will value from that lens, but nothing that is imminent or large that is dilutive to everybody in the horizon.
But thank you. My second question is, I just wanted to reconfirm the capacity utilization across the plants that we have right now with our within our portfolio. And the follow-up is, it was interesting to see the focus on return metrics and asset turnovers in the opening remarks by Mr. Bajaj. So in that context, and the focus on capital efficiency was repeatedly mentioned. So in that context, is there any broad thought process on, there is separation of manufacturing and branding that we can see in the country today, right? I mean, we have contract manufacturing outfits which sell products to brand owners, which do more of marketing and distribution. So do we have any broad thoughts around selling some of our factories and going more asset light on that manner? So these two questions, that's it from me.
So let me rephrase your question. One question you are asking is, are we looking at selling some of our capacities to third party? What was the first question if you may just...
Capacity utilizations across the plants right now.
Okay, so capacity utilization, I talked about it. For most of the core categories, we are operating between 40 to 70% capacity utilization. And that would be the pitch in most of our plants where within the core categories where we would stay invested on. Second is on the ones which we are deprioritizing or giving away in terms of building a business, consumer business of our own. In those capacities, we'll be open to sell or dispose those assets off, or also look at anybody who is looking at capacity in that area to see if we can leverage. As of now, we don't have any identified opportunities, but we would really be looking at either disposing of or finding alternative routes for those of capacities which are not leveraged. Third, if you have to talk about looking at the ecosystem of third party, the way I look at it, as we go into our growth journey or business ahead, we would have opportunities to expand into newer categories. We already have identified plans to get into categories beyond. I would also want to leverage the ecosystem beyond us to make sure we do our entries in a capital efficient way right on the third party network and get those capacities as we build some of our innovations and new entries. So those would be the three tenets on which we will operate. Does it answer your question or you still have a... Sorry, I can't hear you.
Sorry, one follow-up on that. So on what about the core factories? We are very clear that we'll hold on to the core factories, and the core factories we are not looking to sell to a third party just to focus on marketing and distribution. I mean, I've seen some companies do that, hence the question.
So see, all our factories as they stand today, our manufacturing setup is distributed. Our categories don't manufacture one single category, and hence selling out an individual factory out is a very difficult option. That is not what we are looking at. Our factories in general are distributed manufacturing basis for our product, which allow us an ability to reach our consumers in a very cost efficient way. And hence, most factories will be today manufacturing a variety of products for us and also manufacturing core products for us. And they allow us an opportunity to reach to our consumer efficiently.
Thank you. This was helpful. I mean, that's all from my end. Thank you.
Yeah, moderator.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shirish Pardeshi. May I request you to unmute your line and switch on your video and go ahead with your question, please. Thank you.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks for the opportunity. I think Nitish, Harsha and Lalita have not met, but Nitish is the most.
So sorry to interrupt, sir. May I request you to use your handset, sir? Your audio is not clear, sir.
I'm using handset only.
Yes,
okay, sir, go ahead.
I have been tracking the company for a longer time, so pardon me for some stupid questions. First thing, in the impairment of assets, what we have done, does that mean that at some point of time, the Bangladesh investment or Ola will get replanned Our focus is going to be on Jagadi.
No, so I did talk about we do for our snacks business need a very well-distributed manufacturing base. So Unnao is also a part of our distributed manufacturing base strategy. It does provide, and similarly, Bangladesh also is a part of our distributed manufacturing strategy because these allow us the ability to service central and eastern part of the country. So we are not really looking at any kind of impairment on those.
Is there any further impairment is expected in FY26?
No, we have taken a very prudent and very thorough investigation of all assets, so we do not anticipate any further impairment going forward.
Okay. Nitish, thanks for that. The broader question, since you are here about 5 months, this company has spread across chocolates, everything, and they were trying to bring in the business as many channels and exploiting. The bigger question is that with Del Monte 600 crore, especially on the athletic channels and growing water trade, how this integration and what's your learning and how big business you can draw over next 3 to 5 years from Del Monte?
Sorry, I lost the last part of your question, Shirish.
So this 600 can become what times more in next 3 years, especially given it is focused on the with commerce and modern trade.
Yes, so see, these are all high growth businesses. The way we look at, and I don't want to at this stage set an exact number on, but directionally we would want this portfolio. See, these are all emerging categories, especially Del Monte business in many ways, especially their Italian business. It is a low penetration business, but expanding because consumers are looking at Western choices in their food in a much bigger way. Plus, olive oil, we know, is a much healthier oil also. So, fundamentally, these are high growth opportunities with a significant headroom, both from a penetration point of view and also from a market share point of view. Del Monte's platform will get an expansion into the distribution network for general trade. Now, if I had to broadly look at from, let's say, the ketchups and mayo businesses, today it is dominantly a modern trade e-commerce business. It's negligible in general trade. We have shown you at overall level our saliency of general trade will be closer to 40%. How do we really leverage our network strength to build saliency on that network over the next 3 to 5 years? And which are the portfolios which will see the best traction? Those are the experiments and experiences you will see coming in January. As a management, we see a significant headroom. I don't want to attach a specific number right now. Overall, I have told you we are looking to grow aggressively this business. Specifically on one portfolio, I don't want to attach a number. I do see a strong headroom for growth through the network.
Okay. My last question, I'm reading slide 14. Specifically, as to popcorn is a larger business, and in the past, over the last 6, 7 years, the other management tried to expand its franchise. You did allude saying that the flavor strategy is going to work or may not work. So I just wanted to pick up your thought, especially on the Act 2. What are the levers you are having going to grow this business? And more, Ashish, if you can give me some color on the Staple business, because this business has been stagnant for a while. And in the past, we always said that it has always been a cash cow. So is this business is important, or at some point of time, we will sell off this business? Some more depth in color, and this 4% is primarily the volume or its price?
Okay. Thank you, Shirish. So I'll answer the two questions. One on the Act 2 side. See, when we were largely only and ready to cook, which is our in-home consumption, offering in-home hot and fresh popcorn through variety of flavors was the route that we were taking. Come last year and this year, if you look at the growth rates of the popcorn category expanding into ready to eat, which is an out of home consumption opportunity, really accelerated the opportunity capitalization for us for Act 2. So once we were only in home, and now we are catering to out of home also with a similar product. And that is also the reason why we needed to have distributed manufacturing, because addressing out-of-home consumers, your freight, packaging, and manufacturing costs become far higher to service fresher product to the consumer. So the active growth in the coming years would come out of all three platforms that the active addresses, which is the core ready-to-eat popcorn, the core hot and fresh popcorn made in pressure cooker, the microwave popcorn. Along with it, it has its adjacencies placed into nachos and extruded, where the competitive pressure is little higher and the core equity of active popcorn are also moving into snacking corn product. So those will grow little slower but will grow and have a headroom. These three will form the core. Out of home consumption will be the key focus where we will build a larger business, because that's the area which is growing. That takes care on the active part, that how do we see the growing. Now, in all these ones, flavor is a part of a strategy. Has he dropped out, Shirish?
No, he's dropped out.
I think Shirish has dropped out. Ah, he's coming. Right. So, flavor is a part.
What has he missed out?
Shirish, did you miss out something? We just saw you correct.
No, I'm listening.
Yeah. So, the flavor is a part being relevant in snacking part every time. So that's how the active will go, and we will continue to do some flavors which will have a low saliency or not relevant will drop out, and the newer ones will keep adding in them. The second question on the staples side, you are absolutely correct that for a very long time we were using staples as a cash cow vendor. So this year, if you look at, when we said we are now have to first find a way of looking and holding staples volume and business such that it is not a declining category. Having a declining category in business is not what we are looking for. Our attention was getting diluted to other newer categories, which we want to bring back to the staples business also. So this is the first year after the last couple of years where we have seen of being able to arrest the decline first. Right. Now, staples business, as you know, is not so easy to turn a big ship any soon. So we will put our efforts now to start seeing on the premium segment where niche-wise and how different channels, for example, the emerging e-commerce channel, can we leverage that faster and bring growth into our premium staples business also. In premium staples, we will also look at staple adjacencies, which will form a part for us to build food business as value-added business. So one of the adjacencies you would have noticed is we are stepping into oats. The base staple oats will be there, and also there will be additive products like masala oats and others, which will build as a part of the foods business, where the scale of procurement of oats helps us build the other.
Yeah, fundamentally, I think on active business, you would see significant investments on growth. And flavor, we also believe, is a route to ensure freshness and newness in this category. Because consumers are constantly looking for new experiences, we would play the role of a leader and keep bringing new experiences and new tastes to ride on the emerging taste choices of consumers.
Thank you. Mr. Shirish Pardeshi, may I request you to return to the question queue for follow-up questions. There are several participants waiting for their turn. Our next question comes from the line of Yash Bajaj. May I request you to unmute your mic and video and please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning team, and thanks for the opportunity. Before getting into my questions, one broader question I had was regarding these bigger FMCG names who are in our category or segment, they are struggling for growth and they are kind of fighting for growth, especially on the quick com side of it, because that's a newer channel. And if we talk about us, especially Del Monte, we are taking a different route, which is we are relatively much penetrated in the quick com and e-com side and modern trade side, but not on the GT side. So just wanted to pick your thoughts on, are you seeing some kind of benefit when you're easier way of penetrating on the GT side of it in terms of shelf space, if you can throw some light on that.
So see, eventually the way you, the consumer is evolving, today we have to build an omni-channel brand and an omni-channel experience. Consumers and different set of consumers rely on different channels to fulfill their needs. If I look at our snacking business, it is dominantly general trade led. And hence, it will provide us always the reach and muscle to make sure that in general trade, we are one of the most well-penetrated brand and offering, because our ability through our snacking business and also 10 rupee price point of Active Popcorn gives a deep, wide distribution and a hold on the channel. We will continue to leverage that. Nowhere are we saying that we will make it secondary. That actually will become primary vehicle for growth for our categories where, let's say, today our presence is more modern trade or e-commerce led. Second is, if you look at now the evolution, and we are very clearly seeing very accelerated growth in quick commerce channel. I did show a slide where in last full year, our e-commerce business, and it is dominantly quick commerce business for us because of the price points at which we operate, has grown at 34%. So we are seeing significant ability to grow there. We also know these quick commerce partners are expanding into multiple newer cities. And hence, there will be two sets of growth which will come there. One is their expansion within the existing ecosystem where they are operating, and they are, let's say, getting more and more consumers who are experiencing it and finding a benefit in the channel. Second, in getting into new cities. So we do intrinsically believe that for our portfolio, both are very important, and we will continue to invest on both sides for our growth.
Understood, sir. I was just asking from a Del Monte point of view, but yes, I got your point. Yeah.
Even Del Monte, we are seeing very good growth in quick commerce as a network.
Sure.
Thank you. Mr. Yash Bajaj, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, please. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan. Please go ahead with your question, sir. May I request you to unmute your mic?
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation and the opportunity to ask you questions. So just two questions. One was, just on your slide 12, where you've given the channel mix as of this financial year. So let's say a couple of years out, how do you see this channel mix changing for your combined entity now? That was one question. And second, you've been articulating that you will be investing in growth across all your categories. Today we are at about 1400 crores. Historically, we said that the previous management used to articulate that they want to grow to be the fastest growing food services company. I mean, so given that we have become more aggressive and we've sort of also become more focused in terms of what we want to do and what not, so can you sort of give some sense on what kind of growth are we targeting for the next 2-3 years? These are two questions. Thank you.
So let me first address your channel contribution question, Bala. Thank you so much for that. We have talked about opportunities on both portfolio on complementary sides. If you look at today, we have one of the most well-distributed channel network mix. We have, let's say, fairly good strength in each channel as a combined entity. And yet, for cross-leveraging, we have opportunities for growth for each other. And hence, I do not see a very significant shift, except the fact that e-commerce, let's say, may increase overall in the longer term because of, in general, their expansion into more cities, especially around quick commerce. Outside of that, I do see one part of our portfolio, let's say Del Monte, will grow faster in general trade, while if I look at the Agrotech or Sunrop portfolio, that will grow faster in food services and modern trade and e-commerce. So there is a clear complementarity which will ensure that our mix of channels may not significantly shift from what you see today. Minus, of course, barring the fact that e-commerce may increase, I talked about. On second question on the growth ambition. So yes, our ambition to grow and become the and stay the fastest growing food company will stay. I don't think there is anything taking away from our ambition or aspiration. I don't want to attach a specific number, but we will for sure grow ahead of industry. We would want to make sure that we gain share and grow ahead of industry and give a very strong return to our stakeholders and shareholders. I don't want to put a specific number, obviously, at this stage. Give us some more time to form a very cogent long-range plan and come back to you again.
Thank you. So we have text questions as well. We move to the text questions. We have a text question from Jay Prakash Agarwal from Little More Investments. The impairment on the assets are net of any sale, or are there going to be any sale of those assets? Are we going to launch any new products in the near future?
So for all the assets which are impaired, we have taken a valuation through a certified chartered engineer. And we do have a residual value of the disposal value of those assets, which is netted off. So in some way, the impairment is post the residual value discounting the value.
Thank you.
New products. Do we plan to get into new product, for which you said innovation?
Yeah. So on the second question, sorry, I missed that. On getting into new products, yes, innovation is part of our thinking and planning. We would get into new products, but our approach will remain a capital efficient way of getting into new products.
Thank you. So we have a follow-up question from Mr. Jay Prakash Agarwal. What is the sustainable EBITDA margin going forward for our business?
I have already given a broader direction. I have said that we would, when we look at comparable companies of our size and stature, we do see them at double digit. We would want to get there and sustain above that for sure. Of course, this will be a journey over the next 3 to 5 years as we go along. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ramesh Bojwani from Mehta Vakil and Company Private Limited. Ramesh Bojwani, head research at Mehta Vakil, and are we looking at a double-digit growth in top line and bottom line in the next year going forward?
Yes, I don't want to give a single year view. We have talked about the fact that we are already seeing growth in our businesses. We have shown you the kind of momentum we have seen in quarter four on the business. Our investment plans are in place to make sure that we continue to build on and sustain our growth momentum. I have also talked about that we would want to grow ahead of industry. You are familiar with the industry growth rates in more recent times and the projection ahead. They are upwards of 6 to 8% in various estimates, and we would definitely want to go be staying ahead of industry growth rate.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sanjeev Raj from Anand Rathi. Could you provide more insights into how the recent acquisition of Del Monte is expected to contribute to synergies and support the parent company's overall growth strategy? Additionally, what percentage contribution of revenue can we expect from synergy model?
Yeah, so I did dwell about the Del Monte business. Clearly, Del Monte business today is very underrepresented in general trade channel. General trade channel at a company level is about 40% of our mix. For Del Monte, it will be sub 20%. So clearly, there is an opportunity to grow in the general trade channel for Del Monte. That's the synergy benefit as we see for Del Monte business. Then if I look at, what was the second question? Sorry. Synergy benefit for Del Monte.
Yes, sir. Should I repeat the second question, sir? Yes, sir. Additionally, what percentage contribution of revenue can we expect from this synergy model?
Yes, I did mention that. Our current saliency of Del Monte in general trade is less than 20%, while at a blended level as an organization, our business is about 40% in general trade. So clearly, there is a headroom to grow Del Monte business significantly in general trade. Does it answer your question? number, as you can sense the number from the discussion, right? We are clearly under-indexed and we would want to go where our natural index should be.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Prateek Giri from Shubh Labh Research. The category where most of our products lie is notorious to be highly competitive. In our pursuit of growth, how big a detriment you see competition as an inhibitor?
Okay. So I would say we have a fairly good mix of leadership brands and competitive brands. I do see we have very strong leadership position in our active franchise. If I also look at on the other side, I do see opportunity. I don't see competition intensity as a detriment. I see it an opportunity because if we look at Del Monte side of business, there is a significant penetration headroom for growth, and competition in general spurs the growth of category, and our staying invested and bringing innovations will help us grow faster than category. So our thesis is that we do would have in some categories today an opportunity because our shares are low. We do have a significant headroom for growth, and categories fundamentally are under-penetrated, which means that extra competition actually helps us grow the category faster and us gaining better share.
Thank you. We have a question from Bimal Sampath, who is an investor. My question is on popcorn. We are ceding the premium space to 4,700 BC. How are you planning to plug this gap? Metro stations, institutes like IIMS, IITS have an audience which can be an ideal consumer for us. Any thoughts on this?
Thank you, Mr. Bimal. We are not ceding position to them. So what 4700 BC is doing is that by virtue of, you know, it having an access at PVR cinemas, they have a presence in cinema which is far more. That's the one big difference. Second, on e-commerce channels specifically, where we were underrepresented, they were represented ahead. But as of now, we are in the last couple of months, we have significantly gained share there, and that has been reflective in our e-commerce growth. In GT trade and in modern trade, we were always way ahead of the 4700 million. That's one. Having said this, in out-of-home consumption, as I had mentioned, that we Acto is now playing very actively and growing. So we will.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We are unable to hear you, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
What point? Since when you didn't hear?
What point did you lose us?
Sir, I'm not very sure, sir, of the point, sir.
Okay. I will repeat the answer for the team. So I think what Ashish was...
Sorry, I think he was talking about the e-commerce growth in Act 2 when the line was cut.
So we said that our e-commerce growth in Act 2, we have significantly now started gaining share in that channel, and that was reflective in our e-commerce growth. We were not leading there, and we have now become leaders in e-commerce also. That's one. The second was of the out-of-home parks and other places where 4700 BC we said is present, but that is a part of our segment which we are building as our RTE out of home today is now becoming the fastest growing segment. Right?
So we would have plans to expand in channels, the ones you mentioned specifically. You would see Act 2 coming into those areas more and more in the journey ahead.
Including railway platforms. We have just got an entry into a northern railway platforms as one of our first breakthroughs. Right? So slowly we will get in all those places also.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. If you have any further questions, I would request you to get in touch with the management. Thank you. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much to all the investors who took time out to listen to us. I would reiterate that we are very excited about this journey. We already have clear signs of how we do believe strongly that this portfolio could be shaped up. We have identified the focus or core categories on which we will continue to invest and make sure that we have a very profitable growth embedded in our approach to business. We, of course, do have capacity headroom, and hence we will stay on a very capital-efficient approach to building business and stay true to the segment growing, making sure that we become one of the largest and trusted food companies in the country. Thank you, and thank you so much, all of you, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Sundrop Brands Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.